This is the third, the most important day of the Hajj, and it's a mandatory Islamic pilgrimage. If you are able-bodied, you need to make the Hajj pilgrimage at some point in your life if you are Muslim. This point, we may have record crowds in Mecca, as many as 3 million Muslims. We're going to talk about the preparation that's needed for a trip of that kind and the impact that it has on the people who make it. But first, we're going to go live to Saudi Arabia. Shaima Khalil is there for our partner, the BBC. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
So, Shaima, yesterday you talked about oceans of people that you could see from Mount Ararat. What are you seeing today?
I think the oceans have just moved from Mount Arafat to Mina today. It's been quite a journey from yesterday to today, Celeste. I mean, yesterday was all about Arafat, was all about spending the day there, but just the after sunset, the frenzy of movement from Mount Arafat to a location called Muzdalifah was so overwhelming. If you can imagine all those people moving at the same time, trying to get to the same location. In Muzdalifah, the idea is that they spend the night, they collect stones to then make their way to Mina, where we are right now, to go into the stone-throwing bridge and start the stone-throwing ritual. After that, they sacrifice an animal. They sacrifice sheep mostly, and then men and women, they cut their hair. Some men choose to shave their hair. It's completely up to them. And then they go to Mecca, where they make something called Tawaf al-Wada, or the Tawaf al-Ifada, or the farewell, going around the Kaaba to basically say that we've done all of our key Hajj ritual. Now, today, from where I'm standing, I'm just looking at the stone throwing bridge, and this is a place that is considered a key location in Hajj, but it is also a place with so many bad memories. There's so many stampedes have happened here. The earliest one, or the nearest one, was in 2006, when 300 lives were lost. Before that was 2004, 250 lives were lost because of stampede. And of course, the biggest stampede was the 1990 one, where over 1,000 people died. It's quite a different place now. It looks completely different. I mean, a few years ago, this was just a one-story place, a plain location with a circular area where people just gather up and throw stones. If I can describe it to you right now, it's mostly like a multi-story parking lot, if you can imagine that. It's 5 stories high, and they've built a huge wall behind the location where people are throwing the stones, which basically means that people can come in and out from 5 different places. And you can imagine that, you know, the distribution of crowds from one small place to 5 stories can ease congestion quite a bit. And the Saudi authorities are hoping that no more stampedes are happening. Now, I can't say that much about traffic. The congestion of traffic is still an issue, even though a train has been put in place. We haven't seen that much change of traffic. It took us a very, very long time to get from Muzdalifah, where we collected the stones, here to Mina, hours and hours and hours where you just spend on a bus, completely stalled, not moving, and just around you, again, I'm going to use it again, it's just a sea of people, and it makes it very difficult for people to move forward. So that traffic is still an issue.
Hopefully it remains a safe Hajj for everyone. That is the BBC Shaima Khalil in Saudi Arabia. Thanks so much, Shaima. As you can hear, the Hajj is a pilgrimage, and there's a reason why many people hesitate to do it. It's an arduous trip. It's difficult to make once you get there. There's a lot of things that can be physically taxing and emotionally taxing. And you have to complete a series of rituals before you do the Hajj that could require months and months of planning in advance. Clearly, it requires some money. You got to make the trip, get a passport. And some people are encouraged to get into better physical shape before they try it. Join us now to talk about the preparation required is Shahida Sharif. She and her husband run professional Hajj and Umrah guides out of Atlanta, Georgia. And Shahida, you've been on the Hajj 7 times, right?
Yes.
And would you call it physically arduous?
Yes.
Why would you say that?
There's a lot of walking involved because the Hajj is like a culmination of the 5 pillars of Islam, you know, where it combines not just testament of faith, but also the prayer and just different physical activities that you have to do where you're walking around the Kaaba 7 times, you know, going through the ritual, and then you're also going between the mountains or area of Safa and Marwa that these were significant places that were retracing the steps of Prophet Abraham and his wife Hagar. And in doing these things, you're constantly moving with a group of people, as you said, a sea of people. So imagine, you know, depending on what level you are on within the masjid, within the mosque, that you are moving with a group of people. In addition to that, you're going around seven times, and you've already traveled maybe from wherever your home destination was. So just physically, your body can become exhausted, and so it's important to prepare physically as well.
So clearly, the measure of what makes you physically capable to do the Hajj and not is a different measure than, say, walking to the grocery store. But what do you advise people when they come to you ready to do a Hajj and they need your professional advice? What do you say? Are there people where you say to them,
No, I definitely wouldn't say don't go. It's like once you make your intentions to go, the preparation begins. And you have some people who are physically not capable to go of going and attending, and it's not obligatory upon them. They can have somebody do it on their behalf as well. Or if they do decide to go, there are areas where, you know, people can go and go around the Kaaba as well within a wheelchair. So it is accessibility for all people. It's just a matter of your preparation. So I will always encourage people to exercise, make sure they're walking daily, make sure they're building their immune system, because you have people from all around the world bringing every, you know, element with them. And so you definitely want to be prepared for that.
Right.
And just, you know, building up your body to and also your mind for that sense of anxiety sometimes when you're just around so many people.
Well, referring to the Kaaba there, which is, of course, that big, cubic shrine in the middle of the crowds that, as you say, people walk around seven times. And, you know, having talked with lots of people who've done the Hajj over the course of my career, everyone has a story of, even though it's scripted down to the footstep, everything that you do, everyone always discovers some surprise that they never expected to happen. What was yours on your first Hajj, Shadida?
I would say, my first Hajj, it was, we actually went by land from Damascus to Saudi, and I would say my first impression was just to see so many different people. It's like you expected that, but then to actually see it, it was expression of submission, and that really brought me closer to, like, even though I was in the sea of people, that there was a sense of calm and peace that came about with it, and I didn't expect that at all.
Shahida Sharif, runs the Professional Hajj and Umrah Guides. That's a business out of Atlanta and Georgia. She's actually been on the Hajj seven times, which is impressive. Thanks so much, Shahida.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.